Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour to ignite your best life. Each Thursday on 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll have new voices from a wide range of experts and everyday people about the best ways to make the most of your life. Today, we'll be breaking the show into three parts. We're going to do something new. Today, we're going to be talking to Executive Chef Kerry Sears, and we'll be talking about, one, how we became a chef. Secondly, we'll talk about cooking and how it can improve your life. And the last is we're going to be taking phone calls from listeners. So please call us at 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819 on the second half of the show. So Kerry Sears, my guest today, is an accomplished chef and a favorite among foodies nationwide. Kerry's career has spanned everything from running his own award-winning restaurant and bar, Cascadia, for the last 10 years, to his current job as executive chef and director at the Four Seasons in Seattle, where he oversees the very trendy art restaurant and lounge located directly across from the beloved Seattle Art Museum. Kerry Sears is a chef that USA voted today as one of the six cutting-edge chefs from around the country and has been lauded by Bon Appetit as a chef that finally defines what Northwest cuisine should be. Welcome, Kerry.
Wow, it's nice to be here. Thank you, CJ.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So the first part of the show really is just about finding out about you and how you got fired up about being a cook. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I have to go back many years. I think grandmother was the influence on cooking. I think my mother wasn't a great cook. She was very, very busy, but grandma was definitely the chef of the family and collected all those recipes. And I was lucky because she lived right opposite my high school. So every day for lunch, we went over to grandma's and had these envy of a lot of my friends who actually wanted to come over, and they did come over, and had this buffet every day of different foods.
Oh, so God.
You know how grandma's are.
A buffet of things.
What did she cook? It was great. You know, no English schoolboy cooking school food there for me. But then I was also very lucky that down the street from where I lived, a big manor house was converted into a hotel. And so my parents used to go there and have dinner and got to know the chef. And quote my mom, it says, Kerry likes messing around in the kitchen with his grandmother. So he said, send him down. I was 11. And the first thing I made was minestrone soup. And that was it. I could see that it was a great environment to be in. Very creative, because I really wanted to be in the arts field somehow, whether it's design or painting, and I could see that area of my life could be satisfied by cooking. And so that was it, no turning back.
Oh my God, so your career started at age 11.
11, oh, yes, and actually, you know, like most kids had a paper route or something like that, but I grew up on a farm, so we grew a lot of foods and everything there, so it was always kind of the part of our life to have fresh produce and my grandfather's potatoes and things like that. So it was very normal for us to, we didn't really have to go to any farmers markets. We just went out into the garden. So it was, and then when he got with the hotel side of it, I ended up going every weekend. It was great because at the end of the day, the guy gave me a little brown envelope and it had some money in it. I thought, wow, he's paying for me and I'm learning stuff and having fun. So that was it.
What did you learn at age 11? So you would go there. I know you made minestrone soup, but what else did you do? What was your training like?
It was just it's very Gordon Ramsay, actually, if you're familiar with Gordon Ramsay. A lot of yelling and screaming, which didn't put me off. We could see it was very orchestrated and demanding. So I learned that. I learned how to work with a team and how important being organized was. And it's, you know, you work prep for 4 hours, and then you put on this theater for a couple of hours where people show up, we hope, and buy your food that you prepared. And so I learned everything, you know, and I did actually really like working pastry. That was my forte. That's why I really liked to the artistic side, presentation, sugar pieces and things. So that's where I really steered to. And when I graduated culinary school, I was a pastry chef for a few years, and then realized I still have to get involved in the hot kitchen, and went back to becoming an all-around chef. So.
Interesting. I mean, I think it's really interesting that it was the creative aspects and the artistry of it that brought you in. It's not the flavors and all those things. Is that what artistry is for you? I'm think of more of the arts as in, you know, drawing, painting. So what does the artistry mean for you?
I think you're right. It's everything. Because even now I am, you know, we just changed new menus. I sit down and sketch out how the plate will look. You know, you have the basic recipes with years of experience, so you know how to cook. But to communicate that art, my art, into a team of 20 cooks, so it's easy to draw a picture and explain it, and then they can go off and it's like a blueprint, like an architect would do. So that artistic side. And then you've got the, like you say, the seasoning, the art of the farmer, like somebody's really crafted that product. You know, we use a lot of small farmers around town. So you want to make sure that that's showcased. So, and right down, I'm involved with all the china and everything. So that's part of the art as well, you know, and even the restaurant decor to an extent. So to create that atmosphere, so it goes many directions as a chef now. When I get to my level, even the line cooks, you know, now just a regular grill cook, how to present that properly. He has to learn that as well.
Interesting. I think it's fascinating. So you're almost like the lead contractor or the lead producer, because you have to produce and choreograph all these different pieces to create experiences. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely the coach, quarterback, whether it, you know, from prep to right through to service. And, you know, I think somebody asked me the other day, you know, as a chef, what's the most trying is when things go wrong, and that's where the leadership and the skill, you know, to get out of a situation and so the guests are not affected, or how you can pull off a plate, say, you know, if some product doesn't come in, or the cook drops it on the floor and smashes the plate, so you have to refire it. How fast can you get that done to without interrupting the show, for instance? So
right.
There's many elements to this job.
I think it's the first time I've ever heard it being like described as a show. I think that's fantastic, because it is, because there's all these different elements, and then just like a live show that goes on, you know, what happens if the actor hurts himself, you know, during a scene, or I mean, I think it's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right, So I just got cued for our break time. So you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have Kerry Sears, who is an executive chef of the Trendy Art Restaurant and Lounge located in the Four Seasons in Seattle. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll learn more about cooking. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ. C.J. Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
So this may sound simple, but when you're planning a road trip, you have to figure out where you're going first. With the Take Shape for Life program, the destination is living life at optimal health. So what does that mean? It means more energy. It means less medications. And yes, it means losing the extra pounds, which is actually part of the getting there. Talk to a Take Shape for Life health coach who's been there. Listen to their story and their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Every weekday afternoon, it's Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ, your local hometown station.
Hello, everyone. We're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Carrie Sear, who is the executive chef at the Art Restaurant and Lounge in the Four Seasons. Carrie was talking to us about what it's like back there in the kitchen. Do you guys ever wonder what that's like? And during the break, he was just telling me that they should do a reality show about the daily life in the kitchen. So, Carrie, tell us more. What would the reality show show us?
Well, you've got as well as the guests coming through the door to the restaurant, you've also got the back door, which a lot of places you don't know, what deliveries, the staffing issues that you go through on a day-to-day. Last weekend we had snow in Seattle, which shut everything down, so we had no deliveries. 3 inches of snow, and the place goes to heck, but the hotel filled up. So, how people expect the restaurant to be full. Also, our staff couldn't get in, so we had to come. I had one fellow do nearly 20-hour shift. He volunteered for it, but the team all knuckled down, and we got through it, and you wouldn't know any difference sitting out in that restaurant that the produce... But we plan for these things. We have past stocks of product. We're always ordering a day in advance to make sure that we've always... because you never know what's going to happen. And who's going to show up, or who's not going to show up? So we talked earlier on about it. Some people say, well, it's going to be 8 of us, and then 30 show up. So what do you do then? Well, you make it work. So there's the challenges of being a chef.
Wow.
It's fun.
Wow. So it seems like you have to have, to be a chef, you need to be highly organized. You need to be able to choreograph like a serious multitasker, it sounds like.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, there's so many small details and things that you do have to be very organized and prep. Anybody's getting into this business and they don't like doing prep, you're going to fail. You've got to be ready for when those doors open or for any I always tell the cooks, even if we don't have anybody on the books, there's not one reservation, you prep for 70 people. It doesn't matter, because,
Wow.
Yeah, we had, the snow day, we had five on the books, we ended up doing 138. And we had one group of 30, a family on a bus pull in for 30 people for lunch. So, yeah, you see the maitre d', the Italian maitre d', come running in, there's 30 people. It was quite comical, but you know, that's what we're here for. Put on the show.
Wow. That's the ultimate flexibility. So one of the questions I have, as you know, I'm a coach, and I have a lot of 30 and 40-year-old people who are lawyers, doctors, and they want to be a cook. I mean, they love cooking. It's their passion. They love the artistry. I mean, what's the fastest way for them, given that they can't go to their grandma's or start at age 11 like yourself? What do they do? What's the fastest way for them to get started?
It's very common now, actually. I get a lot of people knocking on the door to get into the industry. I think a lot of people are influenced by the Food Network, and they see the
right.
chefs there. And you're right. You know, people do, there's a bigger interest in food over the years. So it's a very recognized and glamorous looking profession. It's very hard work. The hours are really tough, because you're working when other people, you know, people ask me, what are you doing for Christmas? But what do? I cook. I'm here, I'm working while people are entertained. But what I recommend is try and get into a place so you get an idea, a restaurant, or it doesn't have to be a high end, or anywhere where you can experience it, so you can really see what you have to do on a day-to-day basis before you make the big commitment and quit my lawyer's job and say I'm going to be a line cook at so-and-so restaurant. So experience it a little bit, try. And we got a lot of people that will come in and do a stage, which we'll do a week, or come for a weekend and observe, and you know, we give them a bag of onions or something to chop, and they can, you know, help us with some of the prep, and they get an idea. Then, of course, there's the culinary schools, and I advise not going to culinary school, then trying to get into it. You really want to get some kind of practical experience. And there's a lot of independent culinary schools, as well as some of the major colleges will carry it out. But and then not try, I have a small restaurant opened up on the top of the hill near where I live, a bakery actually, and a couple have never been in the food and beverage industry. And I walked in there about a week after their opening, and they're packed, which is great. You know, the product looks great, but they looked absolutely mortified on how busy it was. And I think they said they closed early that day because they were so tired. But, you know, that's what this industry does to you. It's very hard work, but it can be very rewarding. But you got to be organized and get ready for all those situations that are going to get thrown at you, as well as running the business side of it to try and make some money at it. And a lot of people forget that it's a very hard business to make money in.
Right. It sounds like you have to be multi-talented. You have to be able to do the artistry, the organization, you have to run the business, and you have to work your butt off. Like, what are your hours? What's a typical, what are your hours?
Typical day for me would be kind of 7:30, 8 o'clock. I come in, and we get the ordering meetings, and it's a little different now with the hotel than what I was when the restaurant. You have different priorities. I don't have that financial responsibility where you're writing checks like you would have as the restaurant. You have accounting and you have HR and everything in the bigger corporation. I worked with Four Seasons prior to coming my restaurant experience, and all worked out that I came back after I sold the restaurant. But then the day would be no lunch, dinner. I would get out of here at 8:30, 9 o'clock, depends on the flow of business, but that's usually the day. And it can be, you can be prepping, you can be working on the line. I'm not actually grill cooking, I'm the coach. I'm standing there on the line making sure everything flows, the conductor of the orchestra, per se. So a lot of days are on your feet. And then you've got the business side of it. I have to run because I'm responsible for the food and beverage department. So there's ordering of wines, and I have a staff of about 110 different people that would with managers reporting to me on that. So
how does one do this stage? Stage is a French word, right? It's like an internship equivalent, right?
Yeah, there's different varieties. It depends on the kitchens. You can come in and observe, like I said, or you can actually get in there and show us what you can cook. But it's an area that kitchens, they open up that you can come and experience. And a lot of the French restaurants in Europe, you can go over there. The Americans can go over there and stage for a week, like a vacation, and get that experience. They get some free labor, and you get some free experience and some knowledge.
You mean someone like myself who knows nothing about cooking could go in and say, can I just observe and cut some onions? I mean, seriously?
You'd have to do a little bit of prerequisite work on that. You may ask a chef friend, say, hey, do you know any chefs? You can get me in the door. We don't just, it's not just everybody. They want to see that people are serious. We'd ask for a resume or something like that and why you want to do it. And you're thinking of career change or whatever. And it's okay. And then there's also a part of this job is personalities. Can these personalities fit in our kitchen, in with our team? There's a lot of, if it's a very timid person, we'll just get gobbled up in this business. And you've got to be kind of a outward going and pushy in a way. To get in there.
So kind of like a mini,
you could do it.
A version of Chef Ramsay, like that same Gordon Ramsay guy.
Wow. people always ask me about him. It's great. I work with chefs like that. My training, of course, we don't do that. We can't do that now. Although I must admit, over the years, you do lose a little control. You do get upset because we are perfectionists and, the person's paying $40 for that entree, and that's not the way it should be. So, but there's ways about it. We've all taken management courses now, and we're a little bit calmer. The blood pressure, keep it down.
That's so fascinating. So no timid, need to be outward going, and kind of a little bit pushy. So that's good. And then you need to work your butt off and need to be organized. You need a lot of different things. It's basically like you're a CEO, basically. All the skills you need as a CEO.
Exactly.
I guess anyone can do it. Okay, so moving on. Let's actually, one of the things I could definitely say when I'm thinking about the show and trying to get people, inspired about changing their lives, one of the things that I notice as a society, and myself included, is that I pretty much love to farm out my cooking to fast food places and chain restaurants. And it's maybe not the most nutritious thing for my family, but it's definitely the easiest thing because cooking to me is a chore. So what advice would you give someone like, and I think I'm in the vast majority of working moms out there. What should we do to change? What can we do if we want to cook?
Well, I think if you've got kids, I think it's important, even though if you don't like it, I think kids need to know where food comes from and be involved with food. And even part of family, we never go to England. It was part of the social network. We'd have to sit down with grandmother or even mum and dad, even though mum wasn't very similar to you, didn't really enjoy cooking, but the family meal, regardless how simple it is, and I think it's important that we try and get back to that and have a meal together rather than sit in front of the TV and eat. Heidi and I, my wife, we try and get the kids there and try and get them involved in the kitchen. But we do very simple things, and I don't think we try and assign kind of a cooking day, and we've done this for years where maybe on a Sunday afternoon we'll make a big pot of stew, soup. We like lots of stews and soups, but we don't eat meat. We eat a lot of fish and vegetables. My wife's a vegetarian, so we'll make a pot of chili, and we can then diversify from the chili, and we keep that in. We have a separate freezer, we keep that, so it's bulk. So you're not cooking every day. Although we do go to in the summer, the farmers markets are great. Take them through that, and you can just get some potatoes and salad and that. And that's very inspirational for me when you can just walk through a farmers market. But it's just trying to make that little push to try and do it. I think there's a lot out there now. The product has got so much better with different stores where you do have sauces, or you can buy fresh pizza dough, for instance, rather than making a fresh pizza. Why not just roll that out with the kids and throw some tomatoes on it and some basil, or have a pot of basil and make just a tomato pizza? You know, it goes very quick, but it's not that hard to do. After working.
Okay, well, I want to, after the break, talk to you a little bit about more about your cooking day, because that sounds very interesting. So, because I'm trying to figure out, that'd be a wonderful thing to do with our family, and I'd love to try doing that. So, you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have Carrie Sear, who's the executive chef of the Trendy Art Restaurant and Lounge, located in the Four Seasons, directly across from the Seattle Art Museum. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more about cooking. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. And for the next part of our show, we'll be taking questions from listeners. So call us at 800-930-2819. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on Mind Body Practice. IIQTC.org.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
TalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ, your home for informative talk, local news, and local people.
Hi, Hi, everyone. We're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Carrie Sear, who's the executive chef at Art Restaurant and Lounge in the Four Seasons in Seattle. Carrie's talking to us about cooking. In fact, he was just talking to us about how to get your family involved in cooking and how the import of cooking to families and building connection and having meals together. Carrie, before I forget, the URL to Carrie's restaurant is www.artrestaurantseattle.com. So artrestaurantseattle.com. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, excellent. So before we left, you were telling us about how you get your family involved in cooking so that it's less of a chore and more of a family gathering. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, I think the tip is to not go try and make too many things and keep some things simple. It's a great tool to get the kids to try things, for instance, broccoli, vegetables, anything that's not white, as my two boys, anyway. But for instance, tomato sauce, we make pasta sauce or something like that, or a pasta soup they really like. But I give them knives. I have a 4-year-old and a 9-year-old. They've both used knives, kitchen knives, show them properly how to use knives. And I sat the little one off with a plastic knife, and then he went to a kind of a dinner knife, and now he uses a paring knife, an actual knife. But he's actually quite good. Supervised, of course. I'm standing right there with him while he chops the onions and things like that. But they taste things. They'll pick up a piece of carrot and bite it. I'll try and encourage them to try things raw. You know, they try a raw onion and spit that out and say it's disgusting. But, you know, they start creating the flavors in their heads. You know, they remember, you know, everybody has a certain amount of memory banks of different flavors and smells and that they can associate with. So, and that helps them with that. And then they're even at the stove, they've all got their little step stools so they can stand. I have a Garland range, the same as we have in the restaurant, in the house. So they cook on gas and they're supervised and show them what's hot, what's not. So, and they go through the whole process of how to making soup, or making a sauce. And pasta, they'll go and grab a handful of pasta out and put it in the pot. So, it's kind of fun. We do that with chilies and everything, and it's, they make heck of a mess. You've got to get over that, but things on the floor. But that's all part of cooking. We can, as we train them, all, getting older, you can work cleaner. So, it accomplishes a lot of things.
Yeah, and were you able to? And you cook things on the stove. It sounds like too with them too, right? So they stand.
Oh yeah,
up on
yeah,
the
yeah.
Stove.
Oliver, my 4-year-old, he'll have you know, he'll take the handful of onions. I'll have the fry pan ready with the oil. I explain to him. You know, it's smoking, it's hot. If you're going to go touch it, you know, here's a cloth. You know, it's all part of training, just like you would train, you know, any cook, regardless of his age. But, and then I show him once how it all spray and things like that, and he'll step back, and he realizes the stoves are very hot. And I've never had any issues with the kids burning themselves on it. So, but he likes throwing the onions in. We turn the gas down and shows he never plays with that. You know, he knows that's part of a piece of equipment that we actually cook on. So, but they know how the basics, you know. And one thing I've known over the years, I bet my wife in a cooking, you meet a lot of ladies when you're a chef. So it's a great opportunity. And then ladies love guys that can cook. So there you go.
Oh, this is a way to meet ladies. I see.
Yeah, so I met my wife in a cooking class that I was giving. So.
I didn't realize that. That's great. So I think I should, given that your 4-year-old is cooking, do you think I should have higher expectations on my husband then to cook? I mean, 4-year-old sauteed onions. I'm beginning to think I might need to have higher expectations for my husband.
Yeah, goodness.
That's amazing.
I think all guys should know how to cook. I think everybody should know how to cook.
Yeah. So
that's
what are
the basic.
You know, so it sounds like sauces. So some of the simple dishes that you make are like tomato sauces, chili. What are some other kind of fail-proof?
We make a white bean soup with, we throw some pasta shells in there. So it's kind of a combo pasta or some penne pasta in there. So you can diversify from a soup or you make it more like a pasta dish. We go as curries. I'm a big fan of Indian food. So the kids aren't. They like the breads and everything, but the naan breads and Oliver likes the paneer, which is the version of a cheese cooked in a curry sauce. So that's a little bit more adventurous, but
You've got your four-year-old eating sock veneer.
Yeah, it's funny because Sebastian, my eldest, he was the chef's nightmare. Everything was white. Everything was had to be frozen. It was terrible. A local newspaper picked up on that and did an article about what kids eat. And you know, you wish as a chef your kid would be really into everything, and he wasn't. But now my second, he'll eat anything. It's great. So.
I think he's a rarity among
four-year-olds. We'll see if he changes as he gets older.
You're lucky.
More willing.
And he's lucky to have you as a father, right? You know, if you're going to have someone cook sog paneer, you know, might as well have your dad, who's a famous chef, cook sog paneer.
There you go. Oh, they love coming to the restaurants. Sebastian was very sad when we sold our restaurant, and he was very happy when I got to this restaurant. So he still has a place to bring his friends.
Well, I know. I mean, it must be pretty cool because you probably see a lot of famous people that at the Four Seasons, right? That you can cook for.
Yeah, well, that's another part of this job, which a lot of people, which you don't realize. I've had a chance to travel all around the world with different teams, culinary teams, with the job with the Four Seasons, with the properties overseas, Japan, Asia, Bali, Europe. So, you know, it's universal. Everybody eats. My dad, he said, when I told him I wanted to be a chef at 11, he goes, well, one thing, you'll always have a job because everybody has to eat. So even if it's cooking in a burger place, so I'm always cooking. So, but then you get a chance to meet great people, you know, really interesting people. I was the private chef for Queen Elizabeth. I've had three presidents, cooked for three different presidents of the United States, prime ministers, so, you know, and then the celebrities. So that's great.
My goodness. Okay, you have to give us some of your most intriguing stories, like, gosh, I just couldn't believe. Or if you can, I don't know if those are private.
Don't name names. You can just say it was a premiere. Hotel, even restaurants, you know, guest preferences. I just think, you know, they all, want to go out and entertain and be comfortable that they can order whatever they like. But working with Queen Elizabeth as an Englishman was a highlight. I was her personal chef. I was on call 24 hours, and you know, I'd get up at 4:30 to get breakfast ready, and then she'd ask me for some toast, and that was kind of like I got up that early just to make toast.
Did you try to make anything really exciting with the toast? Like create like some
toast and butter. It was you know, you were expecting. The Duke of Edinburgh was a little different. He was a little bit more challenging. He tested my skills, but the toast. I was teased about that for quite a long time, actually. So.
Did you have to cut the crust off for him? Is that your special requirement for him? What was the Duke about? What was he like? Tell us what was his special?
The Duke was very nice, but he'd eat a lot more British style breakfast with some bacon, eggs, fry ups. He did things like kedgeree, which is a dish that originated from the Indian Raj times when the British Empire, and it was a mix of the hard boiled eggs and curry sauce and fish and rice, and so he had that one morning. So
wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the most unusual dish that you had to prepare for the royalty or any of your guests that you're like, this is weird, I don't even know what to do? Was there any other really strange dish you had to prepare?
I don't remember who it was from. It wasn't a celebrity, I know that. The weirdest request I've ever had, and it was at the hotel. It wasn't this hotel. It was another Four Seasons a long time ago, was blood. Somebody wanted some blood. Don't ask me why.
You mean blood sausages or just like blood? What did you do? Did they specify what kind of blood they wanted?
No, they just needed some blood. So they didn't want human. So we ended up from the butcher shop. We had some blood from where the beef dripped into a pan, and we put that in a container and we sent it up. We're all about the service. We're the service industry. So
did the person wear a turtleneck when they went up?
I don't know. We just shake our heads.
Did the person show up with a black cape and fangs? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it's endless what you could think what goes on.
Wait, and what did you serve? Did you serve it in a
no,
cocktail
No, it ended up in a little plastic cup, a little cup. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I don't know what the... Diets are always a challenge. You know, we've got a lot of different diets, medical diets, but I find that quite interesting now that you know, the gluten-free, and so that's taking us a whole different spectrum and different cooking, vegetarianism, different vegetarian different cultures as the world people travel, so we have to be more global and different cuisines as well, so yeah, it doesn't matter.
Just more tests to your creativity, right? It's just
there you
just
go.
Artistry and how to take that same meal and make it into something slightly different. It's exciting. Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a break. Hey, folks out there, this is your opportunity to ask Carrie Sears some questions. So you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. You can call us at 800-930-2819. And when you call, please be ready with your name, location, and question. So, and you can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. CRA, Contact Reflex Analysis, is an energy assessment which translates human energy into information. This information provides me with the ability to identify your needs as a healer and to design a specific solution for you. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232, and visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You.
Hi, we're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Carrie Sear, who is the executive chef at Art Restaurant and Lounge in the Four Seasons in Seattle. Carrie was talking to us about the joys of cooking and his experience cooking for the kings and queens and dukes and actors and the special requirements that all of them have. And I know that there are those out there that have questions, so you can contact us at 1-800-930-2819 with any questions that you have. I have a couple of questions. questions for you, Carrie, from some folks in Seattle.
Okay.
So one is, let's see, I have a Julie W. from Seattle says, I'd like to have a couple of one-dish pot items in the fridge that I can make in advance and then warm up and serve my family for dinner, like veggie dal or chicken chili. Any suggestions? So I know that you'd mentioned white bean soup, but any other suggestions? And she said, oh, by the way, I'm going gluten-free, which is back to your point. I'm going gluten-free, so my options have been diminished. No more lasagna. Wah! This is for me.
Well, you can have a lasagna, but rather than do any noodles, use of actual vegetables. Eggplant's a great substitute for noodles, you know, layering different vegetables where you do the same tomato sauce. But as one of the dishes we do at home, actually, it's one of my wife's favorite, is I'll go out on the barbecue regardless of the weather, and we'll barbecue all the vegetables, zucchinis, onions, eggplants, and then we'll layer them up just like you would do a regular lasagna. Bake it and then let it cool down, and we cut that into portions, and she puts that into these Tupperware containers and freezer safe ones, and then she freezes them up. So rice noodles, great substitute as well. There's a lot of Asian style noodles, udons and things like that you can use for the gluten free, and add them into your soups or broths. You know, put them in the freezer. It's better to actually do sauce type things rather than just they're a lot easier for protected for freezer burn. You want to keep things in sauces and everything, so the actual item, if it's chicken, it doesn't get all freezer burn on there. So to have the right containers as well helps. So you get those really thick storage bags to protect the freezer. And I really, a month is probably the most you'd want to keep them in the freezer anyway. But any stews, if there's a lot of, tofu is a great substitute as well. I use that. That's not good for the gluten because it's soya-based, but freezes very well in different stews.
Yes. Okay. So it sounds like you basically can use, you know, for her lasagna thing, noodles, different vegetables, and you're saying those rice noodles like udon. And I've gotten some of those, and I'm not sure exactly. So do you just use them? Someone said, oh, get these are made out of yams, or they're made out of some other thing that are not really, they're gluten-free. I mean, what do you do with these yam noodles?
Just cook them. You just prepare them just like you would do a regular noodle. They actually cook, depends on the brand, and it will cook a lot quicker. You don't have as much starch in there, so you know, the udon noodles cook very quickly, within 3 or 4 minutes. So that's great for somebody like you who doesn't like over lots of prep and wants it fast. So
drop into
some great udon noodles. So
cold,
they're great cold. You know, I have an udon noodle salad on the menu now where you just do grated carrots and green onions, and there's some sesame oil and some chili flakes, and they put some fresh chicken, grilled chicken on it. That's a really quick and healthy and really tasty.
Actually, that sounds delicious, and that does sound like it'd be really fast too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Okay, so I have another question from Joan Morris, who writes, "What is your favorite underused vegetable, and what do you like to make with it?"
Favorite underused vegetable is, that's easy because it's the perfect time of the year for it, is parsnips. And I think that goes...
Parsnips,
Parsnips, yeah. I think, I love the taste of parsnips. I think they're one of the best vegetables when you roast them. Just like you would do roast potatoes. Just remember, in the middle of a parsnip, there's that big core, which is kind of tough and chewy, so you need to cut that out, but peel them just like you do a potato. Cut them into quarters, a little bit of grapeseed oil, salt and pepper, and then roast them in a really hot oven. They become really sweet, and then you get that kind of caramelized thing going on, and a great substitute. And then when they're cold, they make a brilliant soup as well. And they're great in salads, once they've cooked in salads. Rice, we do right now because of the winter and the fall, a nice root vegetable salad with some pumpkin seed oil. But
that sounds delicious. Okay, so roast it, put it in a soup. So is it like basically make a soup out of it? Like you would take it and blend, you know, make it into a puree. Is that what you're saying? Cook it and then make it into a puree?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not a big parsnip fan.
But
I haven't tried it in the way that you're mentioning. Joan also asked, do you have any foolproof kid-friendly meals?
Oh gosh, I know that depends on the kid. I'm trying to develop them.
Let's say for Sebastian, who's the eats only white items.
He's a lot better now. He's a lot better. I'm trying. We're working on a big kids program for the hotel, and it's gonna need you parents out there to help us out with this. To do these cooking days and get them to try vegetables and try things. We're trying to get away from the chicken fingers and the French fries. That's foolproof. The basic burger. I'm trying to get them to eat a salmon burger rather than a beef burger because we're in Seattle. Different pastas, rice noodles instead of regular penne and things like that. But just try and vary the diets. I think it's just trying to experiment a little bit more. I don't have a foolproof kids menu because every kid is going through that and trying to find his favorite food, I think.
I think we have
to steer them to things that we want them to. It's funny because, Sebastian, who would need anything green, is now a broccoli fan. He eats raw and steamed broccoli every day if he can. So I would never believe that a year ago.
What they say in parent books is that you're supposed to basically have them eat it three times, and then after a while they'll eat it. Is that what happened with you, or how did you get him to love broccoli? Or did you sprinkle sugar on it?
I think I bribed him.
Oh, you bribed him.
I probably got on my knees and said, please, I'm a chef, you're embarrassing me, try something green. No, I think that came from cooking days, and he saw his brother. I think there's a lot of peer pressure here now. The little brother's come along, and he's eating anything in sight, and so if he's eating it, then why shouldn't the bigger guy eating it? And we're not forcing them. I'm not going to say that I'd force a kid to try it. I think they've just got to try it once, and they'll go back to it.
I like how you're having it as a competition. Food eating.
Yeah, it can be a little bit. And I think the travel has been, and now he's older, and when we travel, we went to Istanbul this year, and he was very adventurous, tried things in Istanbul, and we just kept saying, you're in a foreign country, you have to try some of the cuisines, and just try. All we ask you is try. We're not going to give you anything that's going to be way out there. Keep it all pretty basic, and that's helped him a lot too. So it's all part of education and growing.
Yeah, starving. We went traveling too, as you know. And if you don't eat, you will not eat anything.
Yes.
That was the best motivation. You have to eat this bean soup or else you won't eat anything. And so, yes. Sorry.
Well, sometimes they do live on air. I don't know. So are you hungry? And then next time you can eat, you're out of house and home. So.
Okay, so last question. So Marley Anderson writes, I'm in the need of a great holiday appetizer that doesn't take me long to prep at home, and then I can assemble at the host house home. What would you suggest?
Holiday appetizer. Oh, gosh, there's lots. I think one thing that I wouldn't want to do is assemble something when I get to somebody else's house. So you want to get it ready in your own domain where you know everything works and everything's around there. So things like little top shells filled with wild mushrooms or some fresh mushrooms or even a little squash tarts, that wintry kind of thing, are very easy to bake off. If you don't have a baker, you can buy the shells and make your own filling, almost quiche-like fillings. You can buy some like phyllo pastry and make a vegetable stuffing and roll that almost like a strudel where you do multiple layers and bake them off. And so you want to go and have a good time. And I say that a lot with people who are going to parties or even entertaining. You don't want to spend time in the kitchen. You want to spend time with your guests. So you want to prepare ahead, so bake ahead, and just if you put it in the oven for 4 or 5 minutes, and you'll be fine, just room temperature, and that's enough work you need to do when you go out. So we make these crepes, traditional crepe recipe, pancake.
Oops, I'm sorry to say, but it looks like we're out of time. This is the quickest show ever. I'm so sorry, but is it possible? Do you have some of these recipes that we can post online?
There is, if you go to art.com, the smoked salmon crepe recipe, I believe, is on that one.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much. We have had Carrie Sear, who's executive chef of the Trendy Art Museum, speaking to us. Thank you so much, Carrie. This is a wonderful show. You've taken someone who knows nothing about cooking and made me actually fascinated and want to cook. So thank you so much for coming, Carrie.
I look forward to the invite for dinner.
Yeah, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Fired Up with CJ. Please join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, we're going to be hearing from Tim Harris, who's Executive Director of Real Change, which is an organization that works with homeless people here in Seattle and I think a couple other places. So we're going to explore why one of the wealthiest nations in the world still has so many homeless people on the street. So join us next week. Have a great weekend. I will see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind body practice. IIQTC.org.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm